Morning, everyone. It's not a Christmas message this morning. Just a little context to the reading. I think it was last week we had our young adults meeting together, and we've been going through this book here, which is called The Bible Course, which, again, I'm recommending it. It's very good, by Andrew Ollerton. And one of our kind of discussion points was were these verses here. And I don't know about you, but when you actually just have something in a verse that just triggers something in your heart, I think you have to run with it. It can sometimes take up a few weeks of just your thoughts. It then, amazingly, can actually just speak in and through the situations that you're in, whether that's in your workplace, family, preparing for nativities. Anyway, there's lots going on, isn't there? But the Lord wants to just drop in His word in our lives that can then take course and germinate. And it was only this little phrase that really spoke to me, and it was about Samuel. And it was the horn of oil. It's an incredible context. This is there had been some judges, a time of judges, and then the people wanted a king for themselves, and they chose Saul. You remember Saul? He was kind of head and shoulders above the rest, so everyone was judging by appearances, and they chose him. God allowed it. It came to nothing in the end. And then it came to this stage here where Saul had lost God's intentions on his life, the Spirit. He withdrew from Saul. Saul had disobeyed God. And then there needed to be a new leader. And David comes into the scene. And it really caught me. We were having a little discussion, and these were some of the questions that came through in our house group. It says here, in this passage, outward appearance is contrasted with inner character. Much of what we do can actually become quite an outward appearance. Oh, I must do this to look good. I must do that. Oh, I must organise this. People think I'm really... Loads of it. And it does come into the church. It comes into my work. I know that. Everything is about a nice cosmetic smile. Everyone wants the Hollywood smile and the nice bright white teeth. And it does come into the church. It can be quite aesthetic. This story here, man, it shows that God is after your most inner parts. This must give us hope. Incredible, it must. If you feel that you're absolutely worthless or you're not used at all, the Lord can come, and with that oil can come and just be poured out. As I was reading these scriptures here, and Iona prayed earlier on for Norman, this oil, I was thinking about, dear Norman, oh, that the oil from that horn would just pour into that situation. We were here on Thursday night praying for others. Oh, the oil, that it would just pour in. The Lord does anoint His people. And so David, I've had to turn to my notes. Here's one of the questions that came out in our discussion. In what ways does our culture focus on image, status, and superficial comparisons? What pressures do we face as a result? We had such a good talk, honestly, and you hear the younger generation, they're a lot more clued into it. We need to be a bit more aware of it, possibly in my age group. It's huge. But we had just a genuine talk. They don't realise, but they spark little thoughts in my mind about going forward, about trying to encourage that the Lord is looking on our hearts, the inward places. Now, the story of Ruth just read, Samuel had this almost, I tried to picture it, that he had all these seven sons coming in. It was a parade, basically, of who's going to have the tallest look. I bet that some of them had their chests out a little bit, possibly. Maybe kind of got dressed up for the occasion. They brought them in one by one, and the sons came in hoping to be anointed, stood there. I've done this, I've done that, have I practiced that? Yeah, I've done all those. No. Not that one. Next one comes in, maybe he was on his tiptoes, a little bit taller than the other one. Not that one. And then it just kept going on. And then Samuel says this word, surely, surely it's him. And you know you can get a little bit frustrated. I've done this and I've done that. Sometimes it can be for our prayer life. But I've prayed so hard for this. I don't understand why this carries on. And then it just comes to this place. And he says, is everyone here? And then there was that son, David. Interestingly, he was already doing the work. He was already out there doing the work in the field. In some ways, from a sheepfold to the king's courts. Wow, what a wonderful thing. When the Lord gets hold of your life, he can take you from the sheepfold of things into the courts, into him. Wonderful. My notes, I'm sorry. You'll get used to me. Or maybe you won't. But David was already doing the work. If you're not sure about whether you're anointed or not, where's the oil? What does the oil do? Just graft away. Do good. Keep doing good. And then the Lord will just come and he'll just put that little oil on it. And when I read through this story, I actually thought it was actually almost a picture of Pentecost for David. Can you see that similarity? I thought of the horn of hope. Samuel. Do you remember the Lord said to Samuel, you go and fill the horn. So he had to do something. And he just got himself ready, got the horn, and then he actually poured it out and anointed David. But he got him to do something. And for me, it just had a little picture of a Pentecost moment for David. And it said that it remained with him all his days. And if you think about the days that preceded, David wasn't always a good boy. Amazing. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David. There was a huge procession of brothers before, but the Lord, in his amazing providence, thought about the boy in the sheepfold. And he went to get him. Then we had an interesting talk about words like ruddy, good looking. I don't know if I should go into that a bit more. There's probably not much in there, but we were talking about, in some ways, that's about an appearance, isn't it? But don't forget the things that David was actually working away. I think his appearance actually came from actually being outside. Talks about almost the skin colour, and he's out and he's grafting, he's doing the work. We have to do that in these days. I've just come out from a weekend of going to a works Christmas do. And then you're here this morning. Can I just tell you the huge, huge difference and the hopelessness of people's lives? The hurt, the lostness, and you listen to their stories. And then you read about the wonderful grace of the Lord, that how he can come and pour the oil upon a life. Wonderful. We must be there for them in our words and our deeds, because they are so lost. Some point blankly don't want to even know anything about you. One person said to me on the evening, are you still doing that priest thing? I had to kind of unpack that a little bit. Are you still doing that priest thing? Pray for us wisdom in these places. You don't have to go far. You can organise so many different events. The actual fields are on your doorstep and who you work with. Honestly, rub shoulders with your work colleagues. And if you're not in a work environment, pray for those that are. And those that you meet, your neighbours, your friends, you meet on the bus. Oh, they are looking for something, many of them. I'm digressing. It was a strange school for a future king. The lonely sheepfolds of Bethlehem. In brackets I put, it was quite an unlikely village. But interesting about the Lord Jesus, isn't there? There's so many links with David and the Lord Jesus. Incredible. Surely, said Jesse to himself, one of them will captivate the prophet's eye. But no, God shows the inward temper and disposition. Isn't that true? David had been faithful in a few things and was now to be made ruler over many. Psalms 27, David says this, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" That phrase there, "the Lord is the strength of my life." The more I think about this horn of oil, the more I think it's not just something that's in an Old Testament concept. It's a symbol, obviously, and it's quite a symbol for actual power and strength. Now, don't get carried away with thinking, right, it's time for me to be powerful, full of strength. I'm going to march into all these. Think about the inward side of things. This incredible power and strength that the Lord can bring into hearts and lives. That's wonderful. I sensed it and knew it when we had that week of prayer. There was a clear, wonderful, gentle pouring out of the oil. Reminders from someone. Another reminder. And then a prayer in your heart would be, "Yes, Lord." Why then? Is it then just for me to feel and have that lovely feeling of, oh, I feel so, such a joy, isn't it? It's not, it's to go into that Christmas do at work and to somehow explain to someone who thought I was doing that priest thing and say, no, it's my whole life. There is hope. You could say that there's a horn of hope. I think there is a horn of hope, isn't there? It's off the South African coast, isn't it? Someone said yes, thanks. You might need to fact check that one there. There is hope. David was anointed 3 times, I fit here. 3 times in his life. This was the initial one. And I kind of thought, what happened when David was anointed? Well, I wrote down these things here, that what happened is when he got anointed, it was this here. He said he was equipped. When the Lord comes and anoints his people, he equips them. When he equips them, he then teaches them. He teaches us things as we walk with him daily. And he also directs us. They are 3 and brilliant things, aren't they? He equips, he teaches, and he directs. Now, this may totally fail, but I brought some props with me. You're all looking a little bit warm and a bit kind of, okay, I need something to kind of try and get. I would ask for a volunteer, but. Right, this is remember, this is the inner character, okay, of what the Lord Jesus wants to do. Someone prayed earlier on about the individuals, but also corporately, okay? I'm sorry, there's no kids here, so it's going to be you guys. Right, number one. Don't be scared by the symbol on there. Okay, where am I going to go to in Scripture? Ephesians. Brilliant. Now, what does this stand for? Okay, in the real times, it would have actually been the size of that door. Okay? Not this small little thing, because it says above all, it says in Scripture. It actually protected men and the other actual things on the vital organs, okay? It was a big door, huge faith, okay? Number one, I wanted to get someone up to actually. Okay, next one. I'm looking at you, Dave, but I don't know if this will fit here, but honestly, would that be. Oh, Hank, this could all go really wrong here. Okay, you got a belt there, Dave. Okay. Great. Can you hold that one there as well?
Sure.
Okay, next one. It's meant to be a robe. Robe? Okay. It's not going to go, Dave.
Never get one.
It was for a 14-year-old, this outfit, okay? So, right, shoes. Okay, what are these next, please? Richard, brilliant. I'm going to put them on Dave there. They're quite fetching, aren't they? Right, next one. This has got to fit, surely. For those on Zoom, can they see this or not? Great.
Not a chance.
It's a little bit. Right. Okay, this one here. Great. Right. Now I've had to raid a room outside near the garage for this one here with the help of Helen Jacobs. This is actually real, so... Sword, which is, hang on. Yeah. Yes, yeah, lots of right answers. Okay, now, have we done them all? What about this one? Breastplate, and also he's got a belt here. Brilliant. Is that a key one these days? We're pretty much hit with actually people wanting to not know the truth, if that makes sense. Don't want to go too deep, but there are many that don't want to. They want chaos. How do we as people describe to people the truth in a way that they can comprehend? This is a huge challenge. I would say that it has to go right on the inner parts first. That we know that truth and then it actually just gets lived out. Yeah, how we describe to work colleague, I'm not just doing a priestly thing sometimes. It's my whole life. Yes, sometimes I fail. Sometimes I'm down in that valley bit. Sometimes I'm up rejoicing. Yeah. Now, Dave looks fit here, doesn't he? He's all ready. He's got everything. I've almost missed one off, which I think is important, that just comes after these things. Prayer. It's a key one, isn't it? Now, whose armour is it? God's armour. And at the end of it, he says about prayer. Vital. It's the most unselfish thing you can do. You know, when you gather together, when you pray for other people's things, it's a good thing. It can sometimes take the focus off yourself. I am one that can sometimes feel a bit pitiful for myself. And someone told me once, well, pray for other people. The man that's ill now that was prayed for earlier on, he was the one who would say that to me. Pray for other people. Lift your eyes up. Anyway, just an outward thing. I know it's an outward thing, but actual fact, it's key for the inward parts. You know that we wrestle against what? Yeah, not flesh, not comments that people may come to. It's what's behind it. Exactly. So what can we do as an inward thing? Can we have these things that can actually protect us? Yes. Yeah. Now, I'm just going off on one now, but what are some of the things that we can actually practically do to help with this? We said prayer. What about?
Praise.
Praise, yeah. Sorry, another little cell.
Study.
Yes. In the cathedrals. In your workplaces. With a family member. It does take a bit of courage, can I be honest? You know, sometimes we think it's just going to be dead easy, dead simple, maybe. I've done it so many times. It is hard. But if these... Sorry, Dave. You stood there. Yeah, sorry. I'll pay you your fee later on. In some ways, I know this is an outward thing, and thanks, Dave, for your demonstration there. But it's so vital, it's an inward thing. David, in those sheepfolds, was learning the inward thing. Wonderful. Let's just go to the... I've got a couple verses I just want to go to. You don't need to turn there. 2 Corinthians, it says this. All who are Christ's disciples are said to be anointed. They are God's very own, set apart and commissioned for service. Isn't that interesting? You know, sometimes you can get a little bit carried away and people can say, oh, he or she's got such an anointed ministry. I've heard that phrase a few very anointed. And you can yourself feel a bit like, oh man, I'm just scratching around trying to, I feel a bit rubbish. I lose my words, I lose my way. When I pray, these words come out and the Lord. It's about the inward side of what the Lord sees. Yeah, wonderful. Can I just encourage you about that there? If you're not sure, open that. Open the mouth. We heard about the little one earlier on. Oh, wonderful. We, as we get older, can be a little bit less kind of, can't really come here as a child. I need to be, oh, the Lord wants. What did David do when he went into battle? You know, they tried to put loads of armour on him and he was kind of like, it's what's in here. He walks into that battlefield. You know, that big giant was cursing their religion and their God. He was in there. Wonderful. Jesus is described as anointed, which means Messiah in Hebrew. It's a Greek-based word, which is Christ. He is the anointed one. And he can, and he will, and he does, and he touches his people. One of my favourite choruses, which when I sing it, I have to make sure I have a hanky with me. But it's a simple chorus. It's when I feel the touch of your hand upon my life, it causes me to sing a song that I love you. It doesn't have a huge theology about it, that song. But I would say it's in there as a spiritual song because it makes my heart and my eyes go up to the Lord when I feel the touch. And just in this week, I was thinking about the horn and the oil that, Lord, would you pour that out? Would you pour it out? And I know, said to you earlier on, I thought about those that are suffering amongst us, in particular this week. Lord, pour it out. There's plenty of oil. There's plenty of oil for those that maybe have become a bit stale. Pour it in. Pour it into the desert place. 1 John 2, it says this, verse 19 and 20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. There is a spiritual anointing as the Holy Spirit anoints a person's heart and mind with love through God. This is amazing. That was my own words on the last three there. It's not in the Bible. But I said, this is amazing. He's wonderful, isn't he? I've often felt many times of feeling a dryness. I don't know if you sometimes get it, but even a dry mouth, you just need that something just to quench. Oh, the Lord has so much to give, so much to pour out, so much for us to learn. He looks at the inward parts. Amazing that if you go through the kings in the Old Testament, so much of it is geared towards the outward appearance. I can remember even as a boy trying to work out the height of what Goliath was like, and we measured out him in the church building. We were working out, well, if he's that high, how big's his sword, and how big's that? You can get captivated by the outward appearance. But it's when you see the Lord Jesus in one another, in lives, that's what captivated me as a young lad growing up. It was sometimes just the quietness of someone talking, like the Lord Jesus, that caught my thinking. Does that make sense? Sometimes, just a conversation, it's almost like I'm going to sound a little bit, it was almost like an anointed conversation. It was timely. And it really spoke to me. As a young man growing up, it was in those little conversations that you could just sense the Lord. You're talking with him. What did I neglect when I was younger? It was probably the sword. I was always very defensive. But I wasn't very offensive. I'd always try and, in some ways, defend what I believe, but I wouldn't be able to back it up with some of the things that I'd learnt in here. And in some ways, that's probably the generation now. You can learn many things, but you need this. I think we sung earlier on about having something stamped, the Lord's image stamped upon us. That there is something that when you read this, your daily thinking, your daily reading. She listens to Nikki Gumbel and she does the daily reading. She just saw it around the house. She can hear Nikki Gumbel talking around doing his daily readings. It's wonderful. You can just pick up little things. David was a man after God's own heart, it says in Acts. And I've tried to work out, what does that mean? What does that really mean? David was after God's own heart. I think if you read through the Psalms, you can sense that there was such an intimacy David had with the Lord. There was something in it that really... And this was a man that failed. And quite often from here, you don't often say about the failings. David, big time, failed. And I think in some ways he can only write some of those psalms was because he did fail. But how the Lord's grace met him and brought him back up again. Brought him back up, poured some oil in, equipped him, got him learning again, and sent him out, commissioned. Amazing. What about you and I? One of the traps that I've done a fair bit of reading in the last couple of years, and this is not a... I'm not trying to put down another part of the world in some ways, but I often am quite keen at looking at what's happening in America. I think for years, America, and this is about the church in America, and it's very broad, loads of different streams, but often what would happen over there would actually then come over to the UK a few years later. That's actually speeded up now. It's actually, what's happening there is now pretty quick. And one of the things I was talking about earlier on was about how aesthetic church can become. How we do things. How we do a meeting. What songs that we sing. Maybe what we do after the meeting or before it. So much of it is coming from America and we have friends there, America and Canada. In actual fact, and it does come over and you have to, in some ways, just be a little bit, Lord. What's happening here? Let's try and work this out a little bit. And I think that's one of the things that got me here, that we can become it as an individual, quite caught up on our appearance, but corporately sometimes you can fall into the trap of just wanting to be a bit aesthetic. The Lord doesn't want it. He wants to come to individuals and the church on the inner parts to pour in the oil that we can then be poured out for Him. I am absolutely worthless if on the outside I say kind words to someone, but inside I'm being rotten to someone else. Is that right? There was a man in America that devised a way of trying to keep his congregation. And the main thing is he didn't want them to become bored. So then he kind of had this amazing thing of trying to make the meeting a bit shorter, tried to make things a bit zippy, a bit fun. He had a little bit of steam sometimes that would come off the stage. He'd then actually have certain chords in songs that kind of make you feel a bit more like wishy-washy in a bit. This is true. Amazing, isn't it? Using certain things just to get... And unfortunately then they just ended up leaving anyway. We have to beware. Something I've just been reading about recently, this is going off on a little bit, it's about false teachers. Now before you shout at me, but false teaching, it's huge. And in Scripture he says the word beware. That is strong language. When they say beware, and there are huge amounts of false teaching. Again, trying to get to the ascetic side of church. Trying to grab you. Be very aware. The Lord looks on the inward things. Like those brothers that walked in. I think they had their Sunday best on. They were trying to be taller than what they were. Sometimes, you know, you can fall into these traps. I have. You know, you feel the pressure of what's before you. And when you're in a younger generation, I must try and stay up with that generation above. I must fulfill what they're... It can be a huge pressure. But the Lord says, no, I want you for myself. I am actually going to equip you. I'm going to pour oil into your life. And I'm then going to teach you and direct you. And you are in His image. That's wonderful, isn't it? It's such a releasing thing. We can spend years in some ways trying to just go along and please many different people and things. There comes a time the Lord says, no, this oil is for you. You know, interestingly, I went and did a whole study about oils. Can you believe it? On Google you can buy David's oil. I was going to buy, no, I wasn't going to buy it, but to make something special out of an oil that was so significant, people are trying to sell it. Anyway, I went into different oils thinking about, and you know that the oil symbolizes in some ways the Holy Spirit, and it's about power and strength. It was used to put on the head, wasn't it? And it would come down off the beard here. There are other oils, balms as well. And interestingly, I just found that one oil was quite key. It was in Exodus, and it actually had the ingredients to the oil. And actually it said, I'm paraphrasing here, don't mess with the ingredients. You know what some of the oils, you have myrrh and all the different ones like that, and the fragrance, it said, don't mess with the ingredients. And I thought that's an interesting little phrase. And I then started thinking, as a corporate body, as a church, some things don't mess with the ingredients. I say it quite straight as well, and I've read things about what's going on in some places that are churches. Don't mess with the ingredients. We have to stick to doing the things that some people would say is maybe a little bit mundane. Maybe we still have to work. Maybe I still need to read this, which sometimes I find hard to read and sometimes even harder to understand. But we must keep doing it. Praying as well. Keep praying. Keep reading. Keep listening to the songs. Sometimes I need those songs on the way to work to worship Him. Not the songs that just do so many minor chords that they make me turn into a puddle of water. Maybe a song that I could be singing to Helen when I'm trying, you know, lovey-dovey, wrote, it's not just them. I don't do that, by the way. But there's ones that just put a quick step in our lives that don't get me looking side, just get me looking upwards to the Lord. Wonderful. Don't mess with the ingredients. The Lord gave Himself for the church. He loves the church. He loves it. And if ever you've been hurt by it, broken by it, feel dry by it, just look to Him. He can come. Get that oil out and pour it in. Oh Lord, He's wonderful. I'm going to finish. I just, in some ways I want to say, do you want some of these? Do you want to put on? I love the hymn that we sing, O Church Arise. I know it's not a carol at the moment. I know we're building up to... But for me, it's something back in the workplace. I cannot shift it. The people that are so strong in not believing. That means that we, if we are the Lord's, we must be so strong in what we believe. Take up the shield. It's about the size of a door. It's not something small. We have an incredible shield of faith.